This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional.
Betches Media presents
Diet Starts Tomorrow.
I stand behind my decision to avoid salad and other disgusting things.
With me, Remy Casimir.
I'll have what she's having.
And me, Emily Lubin.
Remember, choose like you have a secret.
We're here to amuse
your boosh. Hello and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Emily.
And I'm Remy, and we have been talking a lot lately about New Year's resolutions and wanting to be our best selves or different, just a little different this upcoming year. So we wanted to bring on this guest today because she has an incredible story about a resolution that changed her whole outlook on life and work and everything. And we're very inspired by her. So welcome to the podcast, comedian and writer Emily Winter.
Hello. Thank you for having me. So happy to be here.
Hello. We're so happy to have you.
We're so happy to have you.
Live from her car.
Live from my car in Los Angeles. Too much.
We're all remote today, but there is something pretty edgy about the car recording. It's a little bit like punk rock. I like it.
It's reminding me of COVID. When like you didn't want to record in your house because like so many people could hear you talking about them.
You had to go do therapy in
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And, you know, like Remy said, we wanted to bring you on because you have a really cool story about setting a resolution that honestly seems very scary to both of us. So in 2018, you set out to accumulate 100 professional rejections. Can you tell us what made you think to do that?
Yeah. So at the end of 2017, I had just been rejected from a job at The Daily Show. And, you know, when you're writing for TV, you have to do a packet to, you get to submit one packet.
I remember everybody submitting for that.
Yes. Yeah, so you submit one packet and then they're like, okay, you good job. You move on to round two. Now we need you to drop everything and submit another packet. So I did that. And then they brought me in for an interview and I didn't get the job. And I like just kind of crumbled. And it's not, you know, it's hard to get your hands on these packets and these opportunities in the first place. And I was just like, I don't know if I can be any better than I already, I don't know if I could try any harder or be any better, but I need to either do like one big push for my career or just like move home, move back to the Midwest, open a muffin shop, you know, do something different with my life.
Yeah.
We've all had that thought, by the way. My alternate life is moving upstate and I make jam for
Oh, I love it. Oh. Do you have a good jam name?
No, I need to think of one. Maybe we could brainstorm.
Space Jam. My alternative life is moving to Portland and becoming a kindergarten teacher.
These are nice lives.
I can see that for you.
Isn't that great? I want to move to Wisconsin and open a bar called Poseidon's Castle that's all like underwater themed and has an event space.
I love that. I also do want to open a bar called Bar Mitzvah and every night is a bar mitzvah.
That's awesome.
But I don't want to work in nightlife.
It's true.
You know, my secondary thing is, in Brooklyn, there's a street called DeKalb Avenue, and I think somebody needs to open a kiosk.
Corn on DeKalb?
Corn on DeKalb, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
That needs to be a thing. And the fact that no one's done it, like, I see an opening there, but yes. I don't know if I'm the one to do it.
I really want to open a breakfast tapas place called Top of the Morning, and it's just little eggs and little French toast, and like, because you never want, you're like, oh, if I get the French toast, and I can't have the eggs. It's all just little things. And anyway, yeah.
Sometimes and even brilliant. Though these are very sweet alternative lives, there are still rejections in each of these little things. You
For
know,
sure.
Like my kindergartners could tell me I smell every single day. That wouldn't be fun. Corn on the cob could have off seasons. Like, this isn't just specific to entertainment. Every job has rejections. Beyond professional life, you know, you get rejected in daily life. So if anybody's thinking, oh, this episode is not going to be for me because it's just entertainment, it applies across the board.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we like our alternative lives because in our heads there's no sadness, but there's sadness in those lives. Yeah, there's tons of sadness.
100%.
Right. Like, it wouldn't exactly be a Hallmark movie either way.
Right.
But it is fun to think about. But I guess you kind of already answered this, but how has rejection impacted you prior to this resolution? It sounds like you were kind of having a little bit of a mental breakdown.
I totally was. You know, I've always been really hard on myself, and coming to, you know, moving to New York when I was 22 or whatever, and then I eventually started stand up and was trying to be a writer. It was all very tough because I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself. And mm-hmm. I think, like, doing this helped change something in my brain about me, if that makes sense. Just sort of getting used to being rejected all the time. So if I set my goal for 100,
it's like exposure therapy.
It's total exposure therapy. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had gotten the idea. I think I saw a poet that was trying to get rejected 50 times or had done this sort of similar experiment. And I was like, well, poetry seems like it takes longer than telling jokes on stage. So I'm going to go for a full 100 because we have tons of opportunities to get rejected.
You're like, I'm going to be better at rejection
yes,
than you.
Yes. Yeah, I'm very competitive. So I was like, your little poetry, 50. Yeah. So it was really helpful to just have to take so much rejection in such a short amount of time and be really diligent about it, because, like, every time I would get rejected, I would get a little endorphin rush because I would get to put it on my little spreadsheet.
Exactly. Because you're, like, accomplishing your goal,
yes,
too. You're
yeah.
like, this is what I set out for, actually. So thank you.
It was like a win-win / lose-lose. But I was like, mm-hmm. you know, if I got something, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I got this gig or whatever. I'm so excited, but I don't get to add it to my little spreadsheet. So everything had a positive impact, whether it was for the spreadsheet or just for my life. So it kind of took the pressure
and
off.
It was for a year? Like, you had, like, a time limit on the 100 rejections?
I just made my New Year's resolution do 100, get 100 rejections in a year. I ended up getting 107 because I'm an overachiever. But it was really great. I didn't think that anyone would care, but this is, I mean, back in 2018, we were still using Facebook regularly. So I, like, put it on Facebook, like, oh, I'm doing this. I just hit my, you know, it's 3 months in and I've just hit my 25th rejection, and people, like, were really into it. So I was like, okay, I'll, like, document it. Yeah, this is cool. And it was super helpful, super fun. It's like, still to this day, like, I don't take rejection as personally. I mean, that said, I did mm-hmm. just go through a depressive funk after the writer's strike when I lost my job that I thought I was going back to. So, like, you know, it doesn't fix everything, but
yeah,
it helps. Yeah.
But that not taking it personally too, like, the first thing when you said The Daily Show, I was like, I remember everybody getting rejected from that.
Yeah.
Like, it was all anyone could talk about on Twitter was, did you submit your packet? I submitted my packet. Okay, it's in. I got rejected. You know, so it's like, they're not just rejecting you. There were only so many spots.
Oh, right. There was one spot. It was taken up by two writers that had worked at Last Week Tonight. So I was like, I don't even have that kind of resume, you know, like, but yeah. And I think the thing is, like, of course, we're getting rejected from TV shows all the time. But there is something to going through the whole process of, like, okay, the first packet they liked, the second packet they liked. Now it's, you know, and you're mm-hmm. just like, I'm so close. I can taste this one. Whereas, like, I've been rejected from Fallon 700 times, which is probably for the best because I may have not made it out of there alive. So, but, like, those were just on the first packet. So it doesn't, like, hurt as much. But yeah, anyway, something about this one made me spiral and just be like, you have to go 1001% or quit.
No, I think a lot of people can relate to that also, because in a lot of jobs, they do have multi-step interview processes. And it is true, the closer that you get, the closer that you feel like that job is already yours,
yes,
even though
mine.
It's not.
Yeah.
So, like, by the third step, you're like, okay, I got this in the bag. Everybody loves me here. And then, but you can still get rejected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you ended up getting 107 rejections, yes, but you also got 39 acceptances.
I ended up getting 43 even, like after.
Oh, so I had the wrong number.
Some came in after the year. So it like turned out to be a perfect 150. Yeah. So that was great. And like,
oh, that's so satisfying.
It was, yes. There is something about that number. I was like, oh, wow, this turned out really nicely. although 107 rejections is tough, 43 acceptances is wonderful. And, you know,
pretty good ratio.
A pretty good ratio. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm sure when I was 22, my ratio would have been, you know, way worse. But yeah. And even as somebody who's been in the business for a while, like, it's still not a, I still wouldn't even want that as my softball batting average. You know what I mean? Like, it's still bad. Sure. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so out of those acceptances, how many of those were jobs that you actually wanted?
Mm-hmm. So a few really big ones. Like, one thing that I had always been afraid of was submitting to Shouts and Murmurs for The New Yorker, like their humor. So what? Yeah. So like, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I spent so long. Like, I spent like maybe 80 hours on my first submission and I got it. And I was like, wow, that's incredible, because I always thought I was too dumb for Shouts and Murmurs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, I'm not. If I put in the work, I can do it. So that was huge for me. And then another one that I really, really loved, I worked for this NPR show called Ask Me Another, and I got that in 2018. And that was, it's like a trivia comedy show. It's RIP. I think it ended in 2021, which is too bad because I loved it. But that was my favorite job that I've ever had. So that was very cool.
Your favorite job that you've ever had.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So that came out of this too.
Yeah, it came out of this. Unfortunately, NPR isn't going to pay the way that, you know, be writing for a TV show will. So that's the downside. But yeah, it was awesome.
What's so interesting too is like, okay, yeah, you don't want that as your batting average, but you made it public, but most things, unless it's your public batting average, mm-hmm, aren't public.
Yeah.
And so what most people just see is the stuff that you did get.
Yes.
You know, and they're not looking at all of the failures or the rejections or whatever. They're just like, oh, she worked there and there and there. And like, that's something, I mean, it's like the social media of it all, where you only see people's wins.
Right.
But that's why I think this project is so cool, because it's like, okay, you're not alone. Like, everybody always says applying for a job is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And yet still, every time somebody is doing it, and I have somebody very close to me who's getting rejected over and over and over again, I'm like, this would be a great story for them to hear, because eventually you don't get rejected.
Right.
But the thing that does trip you up is thinking that that rejection is so embarrassing. You know, like, there are so many things that I would not even put myself out for, because I'm like, I don't want to get rejected from it. Like, I would rather not try.
Right.
Than have somebody, you know,
yeah,
make that decision for me.
Absolutely.
But like the New Yorker thing, I don't remember who said it on this, but they were like, let somebody else tell you that you're not worthy. Like, don't tell yourself that first.
Right. Right. No, that's such a good point. And I mean, I don't know. It's hard, because it's like, who, these people that you don't even know that might just be having a really bad day have like so much power over you. And that's just like, oh, it doesn't feel safe to give people that much power. But we do. I mean, you know, but I think if you kind of, like you were saying, exposure therapy, lessen the impact of every single one, it's a little bit easier.
Do you remember your first life rejection?
My first life rejection?
Yeah, like one that like really hurt your feelings.
You know, so all of these were professional related. And also, I think like I'd just gotten engaged or was just about to get engaged. Anyway, so like I kind of felt like it was cool to have a nice foundation of a personal life going into this. But the first rejection, mm-hmm, I had, this is really stupid, but at the time I had a podcast, like a mini series called How to Produce Live Comedy, because I produced so much back in New York. And I had asked this guy to be a guest because he was really good at producing out of town shows. And I was like, you have something that I don't understand. I would love to have you on the pod. totally not a big deal. But he was like, no, I'm not giving away my secrets on your little podcast. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, so sad. And I was just like, why do I care so much? But he's just like some guy who's like, whatever, you know, but I think when they come out of nowhere, you're not expecting it. You ever get like an email that you don't, that like makes you sad and you're just like, oh no, but I was just,
you're like, I'm never going to reach out to anybody ever again. Yes. Never mind.
And they come at like the weirdest times. You're like, oh, I was in line for the bathroom at brunch and now my day is ruined, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's so interesting. Gatekeeping live comedy production.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, just say it.
Just share the wealth a little bit.
Do you remember your first life rejection that mattered to you?
Yeah. You know, when I was in elementary school, I ran for class president. And, you know, I'm not salty about this. I actually have not thought about it until this very moment that you asked me. But my speech was good. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we know that like school class president elections, it's a popularity contest.
Yeah.
So I really put a lot of time and effort into like, what would I do to make our days better? And I worked on my speech. I did everything. And the person who won literally just got up there and talked about making like snack time longer.
I knew it was going to be like, yeah, we're going to get Cheetos in the vending machines.
Literally. And like, I should have thrown in something fun like that. I didn't really know how to be a politician at the time.
You were like, we're going to have diplomacy with the high school.
Yeah, that really hurt.
Mine was, we had this thing in high school called PAL, Peer Assistant Leadership. And it was like the juniors and seniors, you got to be like a PAL leader to like a little group of ninth graders. And I really wanted to do that because I loved my PAL leaders and like what they did for me. And it was like a little sibling kind of program, but you had like your own class. And I got rejected from it because of my grades. Like they were like, you're not like doing well enough to be inspirational to younger people.
Oh no. Ouch.
Yeah. And I was like, oh cool, I will never apply for anything as long as I live.
Wow. That, you know, that just doesn't seem fair, because there's lots of ways that you can be successful and not be like the perfect student.
No, now I force myself into a job where I give people advice. Whether they want it or not.
Right.
That's insane.
You can always carve your own path.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there, and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life, so it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun, but the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular, and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly, it's my sinuses that get so clogged, and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. While you were doing this experiment, how long did it actually take for you to start seeing acceptances come in?
Good question. I don't remember feeling like I would never get one. So I'm sure I had, you know, and like also with comedy, like, you know, there's like little things that you can, like just asking somebody to be on a show that like, you're like, maybe I'll get this, maybe not. I don't know. Like, so I think pretty early on.
So these weren't all packet rejections. They were just anything. Oh my God.
They weren't all writing
professional.
Jobs.
I wish I had 100 opportunities to be rejected from writing. That's like, that's the hardest part, I think, of being a writer, is that these opportunities are so hard to get that when you get one, you're just like, oh my God, I can't screw it up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some of it was stand up, some of it was writing, some of it, I mean, I think that was the year I even tried out. I did an acting thing, and I am not an actor. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. But sometimes if somebody is like, here, try it, you could be good at it, you just get a little starry eyed and you're like, maybe I'm a star, you know? but yeah, that was a big fail. That was really bad.
And but that's okay.
Just the way, do you know when you sweat so nervously that you just like smell like a different person? That's how I smelled. That's how I smelled after that audition. And I was like, this is not a smell I ever want to smell again. Fast forward like 3 years, I also auditioned for a part on the TV show I was writing for. So I didn't learn my lesson. But again, it was somebody being like, you're good at a table read, you should try. And I'm like, you know, maybe this really is the real me. And then I was like, no. So, yeah.
But also maybe sweating like a different person is just you getting into character.
That's me. Yeah,
you're being method.
This character, that's your body. Reeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I relate to you so much because I'm so not an actress. And I think like, but you do get starry-eyed when somebody says you're good at anything.
Yes.
And you're like, well, maybe this is the problem. I've just been pursuing the wrong thing.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you discouraged at any point? Did you think about giving up?
I thought maybe it was a dumb idea for a little while, but then I think it was after 3 months that I started posting about it on social, and people were really encouraging and really interested in it. And I don't have, like, I've never been, again, it's kind of like the acting thing, like I don't care about social that much, and I don't, you know, like, I try now because I know that it's like a necessary evil,
it's
but
part
like
of it.
Then I wasn't doing front-facing videos and doing all the stupid things that you're supposed to do, so I was like, wow, people are paying attention to me on social, why, you know? And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is really resonating for people. So that's when I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna see this out. And at that, from then on, I wasn't too discouraged. I mean, I think that there was some rejections that I can't quite remember now that like seemed devastating at the time, but you know,
it's always interesting when you're putting out stuff that like you don't respect and other people like it, and then you're just like, wait, now I don't respect the audience.
Well, actually, so we watched this video that you made about this very experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you know, the 100 rejections experiment, mm-hmm. if that's what we want to call it, it won't positively impact you if you're not putting out high quality work.
This is so important.
And that makes sense. Like, it makes sense. You need to believe in the work that you're doing in order for mm-hmm. the exercise to work. But what I started thinking about was like, how do you know if you're putting out work that's actually good? Because we second
guess
ourselves.
Or like,
if
you respect
so
that work. Yeah.
And like, if you're facing rejection after rejection, how can you actually view your work objectively.
Right. Yeah. It's so, I think it's so hard, and it's such a cool, good thing to talk about, especially, I mean, listen, I don't, this is going to be tough because I want to use some stereotypes here, and they could be totally wrong. You could be listening to this and being like, I'm the opposite of that.
Strap in.
So no. I think that overall what I've seen in this world is that women are too hard on themselves and men are not hard enough.
Yes.
So I would agree.
Yeah.
Emily, how many shows have you done where like the audience really liked you and you're like, I could improve. And then a guy gets off after bombing and he's like, oh, I'm amazing.
I'm awesome. Yeah. A guy will be like, I had a great set. And a woman will never say more than this. That was fun. You know,
it was good.
It's so true.
They were nice.
They were nice. Yeah. They were kind to me, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah. So I don't even know. How did we get on this? Oh, men and women. Right. So not to say that there aren't men who are, you know, trying really, really hard and like belaboring over every little thing, and women who are just throwing, you know, crap at the wall to see what sticks. But it is so hard. But I do think like there is feedback out there to find. And for example, like, you know, not every comedy show is going to have a great audience. Like sometimes you can tell, you can watch a great comic go up there and kind of eat it and be like, okay, so like if I don't do great, I'm going to sort of take that with a grain of salt. However, if you're consistently not getting laughs, your comedy needs work. You know what I mean? Like you get, and yeah. Then for scripts, like, you know, if you're sending scripts out to your friends and you're never getting a call back for a packet ever, and you're sending scripts out to contests and friends and you're not getting positive feedback ever, like, take classes, get better. Like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody's bad in the beginning. That's okay. Or bad for a long time. That's totally fine. It doesn't mean you can't be good. It's just, you know. But I think to try to use some context clues without taking them as the entirety of your self-worth. And it's a really delicate balance, but I do see some people, and they are more men. And that's why I think this point is so important. And I didn't think about it while I was doing the experiment, but I've only had time to like reflect after, like a lot of people, mostly men, being like, listen, I want to be an actor. I want to be a comedian. And so me saying it makes me a comedian. No, you getting out there and doing the work and coming up with a lot of great jokes and working on it every day, that's what makes you a comedian, not just saying it. So I think you can kind of pervert the experiment in a negative way if you're just like, huh, well, I tried for 100 things and I didn't get any of them, so I did the work. That's not doing the work, you know? Like, yeah. You have to actually try.
Put out good stuff.
Put out, yeah.
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 I also think that a good litmus test is like, if you saw somebody else make that joke, or if you saw somebody else submit that packet, or if you saw somebody else do that, whatever type of work, would you think that thing was good? Or is it just good because you did it?
Right. That's so true.
Yeah, but that's hard, though. It's so hard to, I don't know, especially when you've spent time on something and like you can almost convince yourself that this works, and you like things become your baby.
Yes.
You aren't able to view it objectively. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that I struggle with, definitely.
I just finished a script like last week, and I think it's like the greatest thing that I've ever written, maybe ever written. You know, no, I'm just like, I'm in that little phase where I'm,
congrats.
Oh, thank That's you. Exciting. Well, you know what? It might be crap. But I'm in that little phase where I'm in love with it because it's my baby. And it's like the best, like a clearer expression of myself than I've been able to achieve before. So in that way, I like love it and I'm so proud of it, but I'm also, you know, now it's scary to put it out in the world. But I think like time can be incredibly helpful. I love to not read something that I'm working on for a few weeks and then come back, or even a month, or even a year sometimes. Yeah. If something is like just wasn't feeling quite right or was clearly just sort of mediocre, it works with jokes too, to come back and say like, there's something here, but time to approach it from a different angle. And you can only do that when you're seeing it with fresh eyes, you know? Mm-hmm. Luckily, this world, this like life is so long and dreary sometimes that I'm like, okay, well, I have time to go back and rework this old script.
Yeah, I love that suggestion, actually, because that's That's the classic, like, I was a writing major in college, and that's the classic, like, you take a break, you go back a week later, and then you reread it, and then see if you can adjust.
Assuming you're not doing it the night before the deadline.
Yeah.
No, and you can't, well, that's the tough part, too, because we love to procrastinate.
Love it.
That's like you just get in your own head and you're seeing everything on a micro level. You need space away from that project.
Totally.
And then to see it with fresh eyes.
And for
but that's why I try to I like to visualize it in somebody else's voice, too, that I'm like, if I read this from another person, would I be like, what a dumbass? Or would I be like, oh, I'm jealous that they had that thought.
I love you getting jealous of a joke. That's like that's the highest compliment that you can give. Somebody is like, I'm jealous of that. Yeah.
My friends, if they got off stage and they did a good job, I'm like, I hate you. And they're like, thank you.
Yes, exactly.
It's kind of like giving a gift. Like when you're looking for a gift for somebody, you know it's a good gift if you secretly want to keep it.
Yes. Yes.
So take from that what you will.
That's totally true.
So you wrote a book called One Day Smarter, which is a really fun trivia book with lots of categories of fun facts.
So random, these facts.
It's pretty
random.
Facts
are so fucking fun.
Thank you.
I read one. I was like, is that true that Jay-Z was Beyonce's second boyfriend? Like she only had one boyfriend before Jay-Z.
Crazy.
I guess she was like 21 when they got together.
Virgo. We are late bloomers.
She's a Virgo. Oh. And you know, Remy and I are similar. We're like, no relationships. Unless
Ben is my
right
second
one.
Boyfriend.
Yeah, Andy is my first boyfriend.
Wow.
You know what? There's something there. But anyway, that book that you wrote was actually born out of a rejection.
Rejection.
Totally. Yeah.
Can you tell that story?
Yeah. So after the year of rejection, I went on the Today Show to talk about it. And the producer of my segment was like, I know when somebody's going to come on and like, if their segment goes well, they get a book deal. This is ripe for a book deal. You're going to get a book deal. So I was like heading into the new year being like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so fun. I was thinking about what the book would be. I'm like, oh, I love personal essays. So I love writing about rejection. I was like brainstorming and I was like, then I was just sort of waiting for my little book and nobody emailed me or called me. And I was like, okay, so maybe I have to go reach out to some agents. So because of the rejection thing, I had been included in a different book and I had met with an agent that I met through. It's boring. But anyway, because of the rejection thing, I met an agent. So I went to her and I was like, hey, listen, I'm supposed to write this book. It's my destiny. What do you say? And she was like, no, we don't want that book. And I was like, okay, nice to meet you. Goodbye. But then later in the year, well, actually, it was over the pandemic. So an editor at Penguin Random House reached out and was like, listen, we're trying to find a comedian who has a trivia background. It's a very specific thing to write a trivia book because we want it to be very light. And I was like, yes, but they were trying to pay me $0 because that's what, I mean, not zero, but very little.
Yeah.
Just not enough to get the job done in a way that I would have wanted to do it, you know? So I went to the agent and I was like, could you agent this? I really want to do this job, but I can't do it for that little money. I literally will just run out of money and I have to survive, you know? So she got me a better deal and that's how the book was born. Yeah. And it was so fun. I got to write it over the pandemic. I was really focused on uplifting trivia because we were all in such a bummer mood all the time. So it was a great thing to do during that time. Yeah.
And interestingly, I mean, I don't know. Had you ever been on the Today Show before during the rejections?
No, they reached out to me. Yeah.
That was born out of rejection as well.
Absolutely. And then when I came out with the trivia book, I reached back out to them and I was like, hey, I did this rejection thing. So it'd be pretty dumb if I didn't ask if I could come back on and plug my book. And they were like, sure, come on. So that was nice.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
And at that point, you're so much more comfortable asking because you're like,
yes.
Okay, what are you going to do? Reject me? This is like my thing now, actually.
Yeah, right. Like it's a little bit of an armor. Although, I mean, I do have to say like every time that I send an email where, I'm a little scared that the answer could be no, I still get a little sweaty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you hit send anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to our content manager, Lauren, about this because I have this like sales sensibility. I used to do all the booking for my old podcast. And I have this sales mind that's like, if you don't tell me no, I will keep asking.
Oh, I love that.
And the thing is, you feel like you're being so annoying, like asking somebody to come on your podcast and they're like, oh, I'm busy right now, but circle back. And until somebody tells me no, I will keep asking. And you feel so annoying, but you would be shocked how many people really, truly do end up coming on, or they want to be a part of it. It's just, we convince ourselves that if they say no the first time, then it's no forever.
That's
or if they
amazing.
Don't answer, that's a no.
Right, right.
Because somebody told me once, no answer is an answer. And I'm not even sure that's true.
Wait, what does that even mean?
Like if you ask somebody something and they don't reply, that's the answer. They don't want to do it. Somebody said that to me once and it's not necessarily true.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think it is. I think you need to be that cockroach that doesn't fucking die until they hit it with the raid.
You don't know why they didn't respond. Maybe they saw it and they responded in their head. I do that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, I think I responded, but I didn't. And then it's just like, oh, hey, extra nudge. And you're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Or like,
yeah,
I did a thing where I had so many fucking emails one year that I just wasn't reading. And then like 3 years later, I was like, I'm going to go clean out my emails. And I responded to people and they were like, LOL, this podcast doesn't exist anymore. but we have this other thing, you know? So it's
amazing.
Like, they might get back to you eventually.
I love that.
This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo boric acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo dual protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on azoproducts.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
On that note, were there any other opportunities that were born out of rejection for you?
Well, okay, so this is weird. I started doing like corporate talks about failure for this company. And so
I love that you're the failure girl now.
Yeah, I kind of like it. I mean, I kind of like it because I don't feel
the face of failure.
I remember I used to have when I first moved to New York, I was a waitress in Times Square, but then I thankfully got a job.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, it was so terrible. I thankfully got a job for this British Vogue editor, and she was like always telling me to not become a person who gives advice because you'll always end up looking like an idiot. And that has stuck with me. So I'm like, okay, if I, cause you kind of set yourself up for failure if you're like, I'm the perfect mother and wife and da, 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 and here's my, you know, then somebody sees you yelling at your kid in a grocery store and it's all off. I think that's what she was getting at, but I always remember it. And so it's weird that the, and feels fitting that the only thing I feel qualified to give advice on is failing. So that's fine with me.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's how at least I feel on this podcast. Like when we're giving advice, we're giving it from a place of we are also currently struggling or have struggled.
That's great.
On my other podcast, it was, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And that's why I'm starting this. Like, it is hard to just be somebody who's like, I'm giving advice and I know exactly what I'm doing, because that's just not human.
Right.
Most people have no idea what they're doing.
I don't want to take advice from somebody who's never struggled with the thing that I'm struggling with. I'd rather take advice from somebody who has.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Yeah. I think it's also like, that was a while ago, right? Like, I do think that the culture has changed over the last like 15 years or whatever, where it's totally okay to not have your shit together, and people that pretend to like seem like they're from another era, like an early aughts rom-com or something. I'm like, nobody is like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing too. If somebody is like, I'm giving you a career podcast, and I applied to my first job, got it. I applied to my second job, got it. You know, like, it's like, okay, well, you seem like you just have luck on your side, because my life hasn't gone similarly. Or with the rom-com thing, there are people that host how to get a date, how to fall into a relationship, but it's always been so easy for them. Mm-hmm. They've never experienced the rejection of going to a bar and going up to somebody and them saying no thanks. They've never experienced the rejection of a situationship, and you're like, I mean, that's so great for you that everything has fallen into place, but it doesn't seem like you're coming exactly from the angle of the average person.
Right. Yeah. Or you're hiding stuff from yourself. Like, sorry to say, everybody knows your husband's cheating on you except you. I don't know. Like, that happens, you know?
Shots fired from Emily Winter.
Yeah. You know, there's a popular phrase in the woo-woo sphere that rejection is protection. So like kind of meaning that rejection might actually protect you from opportunities that maybe weren't really the right fit for you, or wouldn't have panned out the way that you maybe hoped they would. I'd love to get your take on that.
Well, Fallon's a good example. I feel like I can say that now that his toxic work environment has been sort of like put out in the open, but it was an open secret before that. But yeah, like, I actually think about, this is an even stronger example. After I was done working for my British Vogue editor for a year, she was moving back to London. So she hooked me up with her friend who needed an assistant at Miramax. And I interviewed to be an assistant that would have worked closely with Harvey Weinstein. She ended up hiring a guy, and I was like, oh, I guess, I don't know why or whatever, but I was like, yeah, today I'm like, I wonder if she was trying to protect these girls in their early 20s from Harvey Weinstein. And so she ended up going with the only guy applicant, because I knew all about this from my boss. Yeah. So it's like, rejection is protection. I was devastated at the time. I thought it would have been a really cool opportunity. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, thank God.
Wait, that's the best answer. That's that wild. Rejection literally was her protection. Yeah. Oh my God. That is so good.
Insane.
So external validation can be kind of an insatiable monster in this business. How do you manage the highs and lows of it? We kind of touched on it before, but it's like, you can feel like you're on such a high, and then all of a sudden you could be rejected one time, or not even rejected, but not get the validation you were seeking. And now you feel like a garbage person.
Oh my gosh.
How do you deal with those highs and lows?
I literally just had this happen. I had the best 2023 was like my best year of my life. And it was so fun. I was on strike, and I went to Wisconsin. While I was on strike, I stayed in a cabin. I was feeling great because my bosses were like, the show that you're writing on is coming back right when the strike is over. That's guaranteed. There was this really awesome manager that had been like taking me to coffee. So I was like, well, he's in my corner. And I was like, this is great. My life is awesome. And I got back to LA. The strike ended. Our show got canceled. The manager told me to take a hike. And I was like, oh no, everything I thought was a lie. And you know, this is just like a few months ago. And I kind of did a spiral a little bit, because I just like was so, I was so shaken. And honestly, I like, at this point, I know that I can, I'm smart enough and funny enough to do these jobs, right? So like, I figured that out. So when I get so depressed, I have to like fix it inside. So I started going back to therapy. I started listening to more woo-woo books. And one thing that I love to do is like take a bubble bath and get high and listen to woo-woo books. And then like it makes so me feel better. Yeah. And I'm like, listen, today you are fine. Today you are on unemployment and it's awesome. And it's a good day. So get some writing done and just like chill out because today is okay. So yeah, I mean, I'm feeling great now, but like it did, I definitely like was off kilter for like a month for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So when you say woo-woo books, are they self-help books?
Yeah. Like I just finished The Power of Now, which is all about living in the moment. I listened to, what's that? You're Not Dying, You're Just Waking Up. Do you know that one?
Mm-hmm. That one? No, I don't know any of these. I probably should read them for personal reasons.
I mean, I think it's just like, it's kind of boring, honestly, because I find woo-woo people to be like, just horribly unfunny. And like, it's like, you can't hold the secrets of the universe and have a sense of humor about it at the same time. And that really bugs me. But I feel like it's like doing, I'll like listen to one and then I'll like listen to a novel or something fun to just like clear it out. But I do think it's helpful. It's just like a little tedious sometimes.
You should write a book that is woo-woo and funny and call it Ha Ha Woo-Woo.
I love that so much.
It's a great suggestion. I think that like sometimes it can be hard to be funny if you're a woo-woo person, because you're not supposed to say anything self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be like disparaging about anybody else. But sometimes those are the funniest things. So we like avoid the funny because it's like, well, I don't want to say I'm a garbage person. But like, I feel like that right now. And it's kind of funny.
Right. No, absolutely. Totally true.
What you were saying before about just sit, like post rejection or post the show getting canceled and the manager going away, and just sit in that and write and like enjoy the moment or whatever. Like that's something that I have been telling one of my friends specifically after a breakup, which can feel like the biggest rejection for a lot of people, because it's like, oh my God, you know me and you don't want me.
They're rejecting the whole you. Yeah.
The all of it. Whether it's a romantic one or a professional one or whatever it is, I always say like, okay, so try to enjoy the time between that and the next one, because you never know when the next one is coming. Mm-hmm. So really like focus on yourself. Like if you are in a writing job, you're not going to have a lot of time to do your own writing on the side.
No.
If you are in a relationship, if it's monogamous, you're not going to be dating anymore. So like date like you don't know when that next person is coming. It could be fucking tomorrow.
Yeah.
Live like you don't know when that next job is coming, because like you don't know when that next job is going to give you time off.
Totally. That's so true. And yeah, I'm like, oh gosh, everyone that I know that's a TV writer out here is like, everyone's panicking because the industry hasn't really gotten back on its feet yet. And it's been difficult not to fall into that, because yeah, what mm-hmm. We're all trying to get our next job so that what, we can be tired and grumpy and not have time to see each other. No, let's go to yoga and have lunch. Let's make it nice, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's classic. Yeah. Like me when I have a job, me when I don't have a job.
Yes.
It's the same picture. You're crying on the bathroom floor.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I'm trying not to cry on the bathroom floor and trying to enjoy the moments that are in between that are so hard to come by, honestly.
And if we're going to get woo-woo about it, maybe try to see it not as a rejection from another person or another job, but see it as the universe rejecting you for protection for some off time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or to like bang some randos if you've been ousted from a relationship.
I mean, if somebody dumps you, I feel like then it's just like, okay, they weren't going to be the best version of themselves for you anyway. They can't be the best version of themselves for you.
Or like spend so much time alone. Because like, what if you meet your fucking soulmate and like, yeah, they're great, but then they're always in your house.
They're always
your alone time.
What? No, it's so true. It's so true. Yeah. You'll never be alone again. And hopefully you're happy with that person enough to be okay with that. But you won't be alone the way that you were alone when you were single.
Who was it? I think it was Whoopi Goldberg that was like, I don't want some man in my house.
I love that quote. And I relate to it so much.
And I'm like, agreed. Like, I love Ben, but like, go away.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
For anybody dealing with breakups, I have a joke about this, but, and it took me years to write because I was so traumatized. I literally did get dumped during sex with a penis inside of me. So if you feel sad.
Dumped while pumped.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that
bad? Can you share
yes,
more?
I mean. Yes. This guy was. Okay. This is so long ago. Do you guys remember OK Cupid? I think it was OK. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. So.
It's still around.
Yeah. My sister just got married in September and she met her husband on OK Cupid, which is crazy. But.
OK Cupid.
So he was like this little like coding nerd guy. And he like, I don't know, if you like were in the top 50% or whatever percent, then I don't know, you got some little badge or something being like, you're cute or something, like more people liked you than not, or something stupid.
You're to a make, top Cupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And so okay. I could see that, but he couldn't see, he wasn't one. And he couldn't see that I was one, but he like hacked in. So anyway, once he realized that I was like desirable,
that's so funny.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I found out that you were one of these people because I got this like list, and then I wanted you. And I was like, okay, it was so bad.
That's a red flag.
So red flag. It was such a red flag from the beginning, but he was pursuing me so hard and I was kind of in a low place and I wanted to be pursued. And then man, and he had like rich parents and whatever. He had this gift card to this amazing restaurant, but I didn't know he had a gift card because he didn't tell me. And he tried to pay with the gift card while I was in the bathroom and I caught him. Anyway, so red flags, red flags all over this guy. Anyway,
but at the time you were probably like, well, he's frugal.
Yeah, I was like, I actually think I was like, oh, and then I was going to tell him that it was tacky, but then he went to the bathroom and took a selfie in the bathroom and posted it on social media. And I was like,
what?
Now I have to tell him this is tacky. Anyway, this guy sucks, right? So, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm in it for some reason that is.
Or maybe you just like didn't have any other options at the time.
I literally told myself, I think maybe the best thing to do is to settle.
Oh God.
Yeah, I was in that phase because like I was like, it's not working out if I'm trying to find like the, it's just dating in New York is hard and sucks. So then he was moody. Anyway, he was being really moody. We went to brunch with my roommate one day. He was being really moody and we came back and we had been watching The Wire. So we start watching The Wire, you know, sexiest show alive. And then we start, I don't know, having sex, right? And then to The Wire, and then he's just like, but he's still crabby. And then
The Wire in the background.
With The Wire in the background. And then he dumps me. He's like, you know
did
what?
Did you
this
have
isn't
a wire in your cervix at least so you didn't get preggo?
I did not get pregnant. Thank God. Yeah, but he was like, this isn't working. And I was like, do you want me to be on top? And he was like, no. This whole relationship is not working. And I was just like, you are in me now. So what? And
that's
it was
insane.
Yeah.
That's like, that is one of the most disturbing things I've ever
heard. Yeah. Sorry to scar you guys.
Wait, so then are you like, okay, get out of me so we can talk about this more?
Yeah. And he was like really he was just in a really bad mood and he like didn't want to talk that much and he kind of left. And then I was like sobbing to my roommate and she was like, what? And then I went on a trip and like 2 weeks later, yeah, he came, he was like, are you back from your trip? I'm so sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then he tried to take me to like an apology brunch where he was wearing a tank top. And I was like, this is over, you know.
We can't do this anymore. Yeah.
You don't wear a tank top to an apology brunch.
I mean, that was a tangent, but that was an incredible story.
Okay, good.
one of the worst dating stories that I've heard. And you hear some bad ones in New York.
But then after that,
I met my husband doing stand-up comedy in New York. Isn't that's the impossible story?
That
totally impossible.
Is. Yeah,
it is when you least expect it.
Yeah, I just I can't I mean, it's just a generally a bad idea to date other comics. I don't know.
But I literally think that that was the, I do it too. Don't worry. But I think that was the universe being like, hey, remember when you said I'll just settle? Don't do that.
Don't do that. Yes.
They have gift cards, tank tops. They're going to dump you while they're inside of you.
Oh, God.
Have some standees.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And in retrospect, wow, gosh, I would be a really miserable lady if I was with that guy.
I bet he didn't even know any trivia.
He knew nothing. He was an idiot.
He knew nothing. Wait, so can I ask about the book?
Yes.
Are these trivia things that you have just come across in your life? Like, did you know all these facts going into it? Because you have a bunch of different categories. Okay.
Oh, yeah. How do you research the trivia?
It's really hard. I thought it would be easier than it is because the internet is full of non-truth things, you know? I mean, my editor and I made the choice to put a bibliography in the book because
For sources.
Yeah. You can't like everything. I just couldn't believe how many, I mean, there were things that I was just kind of interested in or had thought about, or I don't know. I mean, I had everything. I had like podcasts, I had apps on my phone. I was reading books constantly. And I, you know, just sort of like looking for things that were of interest and sort of fit the categories that I had already, you know, sometimes the trivia that I would get would inform the category. Sometimes it was the other way around. But yeah, no, I just really went on sort of a knowledge quest. It helps my husband is he's very good at Jeopardy and very good at trivia, and so he was helpful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just sort of things that I thought would be happy that I was also interested in. And then honestly, like checking against, there were so many facts that I think one of them's like you can shoot an armadillo or something and it won't get hurt. It'll hurt the armadillo. Don't shoot the armadillo.
Don't shoot an armadillo.
That was like everywhere all over the internet. And it was like,
how did that rumor even start?
I don't know, but it's just like it gets
by an evil child.
Yeah.
There are so many websites like that are like, yeah, these are all true. And then, oh, no, these are not true. Yeah.
You know what? I blame Snapple Facts. Because I'm convinced that those are not, like, half of them even.
No, that was the thing, is some of them weren't true and you had to go onto the website to see if it was a fact or a fiction.
Right. And that's why they would put real fact
like
in
that.
Quotes.
In quotes. Yeah.
Yeah, but they made me think that a hummingbird weighs less than a penny.
Oh,
definitely
right.
Not true.
Yeah.
Definitely not true.
Yeah, not true.
So we are just going into the new year.
Yep.
Happy New Year. Do you have any 2024 resolutions, goals, mantras that you can share with us?
Intentions.
Well, I was listening to your guys' last episode and I loved what Lauren said about what it was like maintain and
expand.
I love that because I want to be happy and productive and feel good about my art, whether or not I am or am not currently employed on a TV show, you know. So that's part of it. And that's something that I've been working on since getting back from, you know, since the strike ended and everything. I do have one resolution and it's so the opposite of my rejection resolution. I want to learn to cook one new recipe per month. That's it.
That's great.
Okay. Are you already a cook?
Not really, but, yeah, I mean, basically what this came out of is that the people across the street that the burrito place know me and my husband's names and our orders. So I'm like, I just want to not have that happen anymore. You know,
like, see, that was a goal of mine for a while where I was like, everybody knows your name and your order. Like that means you have made it in the neighborhood.
That's totally true. Especially for Brooklyn.
Truly. Like I was just about to say, I'm actually jealous because I would love to have a burrito place across the street that was solid enough to frequent.
Yeah. Will you be doing a certain cookbook or just winging it?
No. Yeah. I think I'm just gonna, I don't know. I got this Mediterranean cookbook my dad got me. It's got a lot of chickpea stuff in it. That seems good. I don't know. I'm just going to try stuff until I find stuff that I like.
Sounds great.
Do you have any dietary restrictions?
Yeah, I don't eat meat or fish. So that makes
it
hard.
That's important to know because I'm going to send you some recipes.
Yes, thank you.
I have a couple good ones. I'm not a home cook by any stretch, but I have some go-tos that are good for like beginners because that's forever. Beginning.
Yes, me too. Please. Thank you. I'm like, okay, if they know us across the street at the burrito place, I need to just spend some time in the kitchen. Just learn about food. Make a couple nice things. Yeah.
Yeah. Learn how to cook something fun, like an eggplant.
Yeah.
That was one of our listeners.
I heard you guys. Yeah, I heard that. It was Eggplants are so hard. That's advanced to me.
Yeah. What advice do you have for our listeners who are wanting to put themselves out there more this year, but who might be struggling with the concept of rejection?
Well, one, you know, it does get easier with time. But two, I think like if you're not sure if you're ready or you're not sure what to do, I mean, I err on the side of go for it unless I always say like, I'm not going to go try out for the WNBA when I know that I can't make a shot mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think like for a lot of people in more creative careers, it's really hard to figure out where to start and how to start. And that kept me from starting for a long time. Cause I was like, I don't like the idea of improv. I'm too afraid to start stand up. I just want to be a writer. And so for like 5 years, I just kept saying, I just want to be a writer. And I'm like, well, that's not helping. So take the classes. Mm-hmm. I think just, you know, if you can take a class, if you can go to open mics, if you can do these, like do whatever the thing is, like just try, because sitting there saying, I'm going to write that 5 minutes, I'm going to write that script, I'm going to do that, it doesn't help. It doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. And if you don't have money for classes, YouTube University.
Yes.
There is a world of knowledge out there for you.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Emily, this has been so much fun having you on. I hope that you're in New York soon and we can all see your stand up.
I will be in New York in March.
Ooh.
So Remy, you do stand up. Emily, do you do stand up?
No, I stopped doing stand up in 2020 and I never looked back.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. I'm like happier than I've ever been. You just, when you do it for so long, even if it makes you unhappy, you're like fueled by that unhappiness.
Yes.
I'm sure you know what I'm talking about when I say that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I wasn't growing for a while when I was doing it like every single day up until the pandemic. I didn't feel like it took me longer to get my jokes to work because I wasn't in it, if that makes sense. I was going through the motions.
Yeah.
Because you don't like your jokes. That it's the same thing with if you're getting rejected for something that you don't believe in, you're like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I think part of it too is like, I couldn't keep up with the writing. Like I didn't want to be a full-time stand-up. So, but then when you're doing so much stand-up, you feel like so much pressure to keep writing all these new jokes. But I'm like, yeah, but you're true. Like I didn't really like them. I was like, what am I doing? Anyway, I still love doing stand-up.
Although as a writer, I mean, it is helpful to be constantly writing new jokes. Just the act of doing it becomes like muscle memory.
Absolutely. Well, Remy, please do my show in March. I do this one show with 64 comics. It's called One Liner Madness. It's at the Bell House, March 13th. And it's 64 comedians doing one-liners in a March Madness style.
Bracket,
yeah. And
I have seen that show before. And how did I not know that you were involved in it?
Oh, yeah, I host that show.
It's a great show.
Thank you. Yeah, we do it for charity every year. So, Remy, I'll bug you about it later. But I would love to have you on.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Where can people find you and follow you in the meantime?
You can find me and follow me at EmilyMCWinter. Emily MC Winter on Instagram. I barely ever go on X anymore. And I'm on TikTok at 3MillyWinter.
Nice.
Yeah.
The backwards E.
Backwards E.
You guys, that's it for today's episode. Emily, thank you so much for being with us. Can't wait to do your show. Listeners, be sure to send your recipes. If you have good recipes, you can send them to Emily or send your questions to us at dst@betches.com to get them answered. And follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram.
Guys, if you like this episode, please write us a review. And don't forget to check out our DST merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe. And while you're at it, follow me at Lubination.
Follow me at Remy Casimir and follow Emily. And remember, we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Rebecca Steinberg and Lauren Hope Crass. Editing by Rebecca Steinberg. Social media by Lauren Hope Crass. And guest booking by Allie Friedlander.
Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.